Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And before I forget, did you see Treasure Quest on Discovery Channel last night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time? I know they're running repeats on it on Discovery. Make sure you set your DVRs for next Friday at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I think Megan Heaney-Creer has a hit on her hands, and it definitely has some diving elements in it. So pretty cool. We talked to Megan last week and wish her the best with that project. And if you're a diver, have any interest in diving, you might want to check that out as well. All right. For this hour of the show, we are going to catch up with our buddy Pete from Scuba Board because it's been several weeks. I saw him out at the Long Beach or at the Scuba Show in Long Beach, but we haven't had him on the show lately. Pete, how are you, buddy?
I am traveled out.
Yes, you're home back in the Florida Keys, though.
I'm finally home. People are looking at me saying, do I know you?
They're like, who is this visitor to our area? Yeah, because you've been all over the place. Not only were you in Long Beach for the dive show, then right after that, you went over to, Cozumel for some kind of big scuba board invasion or something? Is that the deal or what?
Yeah, I think actually just before the scuba show, we had just gotten back from the Socorros.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
Did the scuba show, and then we're back to Mexico to dive the cenotes along the eastern coast of Mexico, the Aventura, Puerto Aventura area. And then we went to have our yearly invasion in Cozumel with 114 of my closest friends.
Very nice. And then I know you have some comments about Shark Week, and they've been gabbing about that on Scuba Board. We're going to get to that here in just a bit. But let's talk about this Cozumel visit, because it's one thing to go down to Cozumel and dive the reefs and deal with the currents down there, and we've covered that quite a bit on the show before. However, this time you guys went down there specifically with the idea of diving the cenotes. Is that right?
That's right. And let's start this whole thing out by saying, don't just go diving caves on your own. If you haven't got the training, get that first. Get the training down, because there's nothing down there worth dying for.
Well, true. And if you're in Central Florida, where we're based out of, we have places like Jenny Springs, Devil's Den, all these cave systems in Florida that I'm guessing are similar to the cenotes. I mean, a lot of
people,
they're not at all, because I've done those, but I've never done the cenotes in Cozumel, and I always thought, well, if you've done that, you've had a little taste. I mean, the cenotes are like the Mount Everest of cave diving and cavern diving.
I wouldn't say they're the Mount Everest or even the Titanic of cavern cave diving. They're completely different.
Okay, explain.
When you dive in a Florida cave and you put your hand down, you might stir up some silt.
Okay? True. Yeah.
You put your hand down in a cave in Mexico and you're going to break something. You're going to break a feature that took thousands upon thousands of years to create. You know what a stalactite is. You know what a stalagmite is.
Right, of course. Yeah, one goes up, one goes down or something.
Yeah, the stalagmite might see the sun, and stalactite holds tight to the ceiling, if you want to have a way of remembering which one is which.
Well, now we know. Yeah.
So in Florida, there's very, very few stalactites or stalagmites. In Mexico, I think I saw probably 30,000 stalactites and stalagmites and columns on a single dive there.
Well, that makes it look kind of creepy, doesn't it? Like you're
Going
into a mouth of a demon or something, it sounds like to me.
We went to one that was it was called the Wizard's Den, and oh wow! I mean, you could, you know, that funky music that they play when there's a horror story going on. I could hear that in my head the whole time while I was there. It looked like there were pipe organs from hell sitting there ready to blow out music. It was amazing, and you had to scoot yourself between the teeth. In other words, you have stalactites above you, stalagmites below you, and you're scooting right between the two with maybe a foot below or on top of you is all you got, so you got to have perfect buoyancy in order to get through without breaking anything.
Yeah, well, or getting munched on as you hear the music of Phantom of the Opera or something in the background.
Exactly.
Right?
It's just, it's beautiful. Now, how it's easier is that there's very little current in most Mexican caves. Like, you go to Ginny Springs, and you've got to learn how to dive current. You've got to learn how to do what we call finger pulls, because you ain't kicking against that rush of water coming out.
That's right.
You got to figure out a different way of getting past that rush.
We have that Florida spring water that's pumping out of the aquifer, and that creates this flow that is pretty strong, and depending on where you're at in the system. But in Cozumel, so what, the water doesn't do the same type of thing? They're not spring fed or what?
No, well, they're springs, and cenote is Spanish for well. This is where the Indians got their well water, were through these underground rivers, but they don't have the same type of flow. They don't have the same type of push. Now, I'm sure that there are sections of the cenotes that have that. I just didn't happen to be in any of them this time. All the currents that I went into were easy, super easy. Some of them you couldn't even feel, even though going in was harder than coming out. Not by much.
Yeah.
But you could tell that, hey, it took me 10 minutes less to clear the cave than it took me to get into the cave.
I gotcha. Now, what about the sites you actually dove? Are there, like, I don't know, Mayan ruins and things like that, or
yes,
I mean, we, you know, the
saw
I
pots.
Bring, well, I bring that
we
up.
We saw bones.
Eric Douglas, who is one of our friends who writes books about
awesome,
you know,
guy.
Yeah, he has actually one of his books is Mike Scott novels. Writes about Heart of the Maya is one of the Mike Scott novels, and he paints a great picture of a lot of these cenotes in Cozumel being ancient burial grounds and sacred sites, and you have to have special permission to go into certain areas. Were you talking to some folks locally along that line too, or were you guys sticking to the main, like, dive touristy cenotes, if there is such a thing?
Well, most of the dive touristy cenotes, as you call them, are not open to the generic open water diver. There's a big industry of doing what do you call it? Like a try me dive in the cave, but those are all pretty much cavern. You're not going into the cave unless you've got actual cave training,
right? And that's okay. What you guys did, real cave stuff then, I'm guessing.
Exactly. I'm full certified. Elena's almost full certified, so she can do jumps and whatever. And we were going back 1,800, 2,000 feet back into the cave.
Nice.
Elena's got a far better sack rate than I do.
I got to ask, really? She has a better sack rate? I don't know if I want to know what that means, but maybe I should ask.
Surface air consumption.
Oh, of course. That's what I thought it was.
It's a scuba term. But anyway, women normally don't breathe as much air. And so one day I could not make it out there. She and her guide, Natalie Gibb, who's an awesome guide, they went back over 3,000 feet penetration and got back. And they didn't even go through their thirds. They just dove for 75 minutes straight back and then returned. You know, beautiful long dive. No men required, because women can go further on a tank than we can.
Well, they definitely have better lung capacity, and maybe more because they got more space up there. I don't know. It depends on the woman.
I think it's less lung capacity than men is the reason. We breathe more than they do.
Okay, we'll leave it at that, and God bless them for that. But anyway, so, I mean, when you go back in those cenotes, what are you looking for? Is it just a kind of a sightseeing type of experience, or what?
Have you ever been like at Ruby Falls or any of the walking caves?
Yeah, Mammoth Cave, those kind of things. Sure.
Now think about those caves that've got maybe 100 times more of what they call ornamentation.
Okay.
Literally 100 times more than that, and you're swimming through it. I didn't break a sweat. I didn't have to climb up or down.
Nice.
I just very gently moved through it. You know, some of the stuff where you come through and you come out into another opening, you know, the sun coming through the waters, and it's just amazing. And the fish are awesome, too.
All right, cool. The cenotes of Cozumel. That's what we're talking about with Pete from Scuba Board. We'll talk about that and some thoughts on Shark Week next. Stay close. Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Get up. We're gone.
Where?
Maldives.
The Maldives? I don't even know where that is.
Indian Ocean. It's beautiful.
The natives there, are they friendly?
You need to worry about the natives, Tiny. Natives need to worry about you. Come on. We have a plane to catch.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. That is from Ray Donovan's last season. They just picked up the new season. I love the show, and who knows, maybe they'll talk about the Maldives or other places where they buried dead bodies. You'll have to tune in and check it out for yourself. We got Pete from Scuba Board, however, with us. We are talking about diving the cenotes in Cozumel, Mexico. That's where he took a bunch of divers and did just that. Now, Pete, I got to ask you, you know, obviously this was cave diving you were doing in that part of the world, but if you go to Jenny Springs, Devil's Den in Central Florida area, which is very popular for the same type of thing, is that a good training area before
Excellent
you were go
training
to?
Area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? If you learn how to deal with currents, then when the current's not there, dives become infinitely easier.
Okay, so it's a perfect training ground to work up your cave diving skills and then head down to Cozumel and do the Yucatan thing and all these cenotes. Yeah. Now, did you guys work in some reef diving as well, or did you just stick to that?
Well, it's kind of funny. Elaine and I caught something while we were on It's like a major cold. I mean, it's nothing to do with Montezuma's Revenge or anything like that. But we both came down with a huge cold. I got to do the first two dives in Cozumel, where we had the annual scuba board invasion. But this year we decided to rename it to the scuba board contagion because a bunch of people got sick.
Okay. Sharon's
mouthpieces. But we still had fun.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters, right? Nobody got that Montezuma's Revenge kind of thing anyway, did they?
No.
It was just a cold thing that kind of circulated through the group a little bit?
It was just a cold thing. It started before we got to Cozumel, and I don't think Elena got to make a single dive, unfortunately. But I said, we still had fun. Lots of stuff. If you can't dive, like I couldn't clear my ears after the first day.
You sample tequila, don't you? And how
I sampled a lot of tequila.
I was going
to
say.
And we went over to Tulum, T-U-L-U-M, which is the Mayan Riviera.
Right.
And got to see how the Mayans, see the ruins. I mean, it was amazing to see what they did.
Yeah.
With all that stone.
It is nutty. I've always wondered, some of those cenotes and stuff, are they close to those ruins like that or not so much? Or do you know?
Yes.
They are. Like, how close? Like,
There's a cenote right there in Tulum. Not one that we could probably go diving in, but there's a lot of caves that actually open into the ocean. And there's a lot of caves where we had halaclines. One of the caves this was real freaky, we stayed at pretty much the level of salt water and fresh water. So when you're above the salt water, it's like you were flying above the ocean almost. It was really cool because you could see the surface and you could see below the surface, but everything was a little bit muddied, out of focus.
Interesting. So
and then as they kicked it up, all of a sudden you got these waves. It's like diving through an oil, one of those oil lamps where, got the little things coming up. It was just freaky.
Well, diving through a lava lamp kind of thing, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I meant, a lava lamp. Yeah. And it was awesome. Then you'd dip down and you'd see stuff. And once you got wherever you were at, if you were in the salt water, things in salt water were crystal clear, but things in the fresh water were not.
Yeah.
And the opposite was true when you were in the fresh water.
Very cool. Well, that definitely sounds like fun. I know you're a big cave diver. I'm not cave certified. I've always had a little bit of hesitancy to want to go down that road on my diving adventures, but I've done some cavern diving over Devil's Den and stuff, and it's definitely a cool thing to do, especially in Florida when it's winter months and the ocean temps are a little on the cooler side. You go over to the cave system here in Central Florida, and it's like 72, 74 year-round. So,
70, 72, never 74.
Never that cold, huh? All right, well, that's even better.
Never that warm.
Or, yeah.
70, 72 year-round, unless we have what's called intrusion, where some of the cold water from a river close by gets into the cave. Like Peacock has that a bit. Peacock's a very low-flow cave, very easy cave to dive. But again, get that certification. If you have never thought about cave diving, the first thing is to find an instructor and get cavern certified. And once you get cavern, they'll make sure your buoyancy is right, your kicks are right, make sure that you have the gumption, and you know if you have the gumption to keep going.
Well, intrusion, you're saying that would cause the water temp to increase in temperature, or
no get colder.
It would cause it to get colder, but intrusion from your dive buddy who relieved himself in front of you would be,
well, that's called a urincline.
Okay, of course it is. All right, that's I'm just writing this down.
That's different than intrusion.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to some other stuff. That sounds cool and definitely something I need to get down and experience myself. But let's talk about a little bit about Shark Week, because you manage scubaboard.com, and I know a lot of the folks there in the online community had a lot of comments about Shark Week last week. I saw a few of them, but what were their overall feelings from your perspective? What did you see?
It changed this year.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that.
It got more respectful towards the sharks. I mean, there were some. They had this one thing with seven gill sharks where they're trying to incite a riot among the sharks, and the sharks are like, really? We don't do that. And they're still sticking cameras into the mouths. Look, it almost bit my camera off. We just stuck it in his mouth, you idiot. You know,
right.
I mean, that was kind of funny. But this year they had CSAVE Foundation, Georgine Bradley, Jay Ireland and crew as Finnbassadors, talking about the real life of sharks and how we need to protect them and how we need to make sure that we have this valuable resource going forward.
Well, good. I would agree that it was definitely better than last year. But you look, the bar has been is really low. So they didn't have to improve much to go better as far as being more positive for sharks. I applaud what they've done to make it better, but I don't know. I still think they got a long way to go. I saw a lot of comments online from people talking about things like, you know, sticking a camera down a shark's mouth. I didn't really get the whole ghost cage thing in Guadalupe. I don't know if you saw that, but I was like...
I saw clips of it on Scuba Board. You know, are these guys like, really? Why make the drama up?
Yeah, well, drama, nothing. I just didn't see the point. What was the idea of putting somebody in an acrylic cage like a
The acrylic cage, yes.
Yeah, they called it a ghost cage. And they've done this before, actually. That was what was kind of funny in one sense, because they've actually had people down in tubes, acrylic tubes before, to see how the sharks would react. And I kind of came away with the same feeling about this one, just like, okay, what did we learn from that? What was the point? That the sharks were going to come in and try to bite them, but then they're going to bump their nose into a clear cage? I don't know. You know, what did we learn from this? That they want to eat us? That's not good. I don't know. I don't know. So I'm still a bit conflicted on the whole Shark Week thing, but tell you what, I know Pete has more comments about that and a few other things, and we'll get to it next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I have Pete from Scuba Board on with me right now, talking a little bit about what they've been rambling about on scubaboard.com regarding Shark Week. Most people thought it was better, but would you agree that the bar's low and they still got a long way to go to get it to a point where divers can really appreciate the more of what they're doing for sharks as opposed to the whole... You know, a bad image that they portray of shark attacks and things like that? Or what do you think, Pete?
I think you should let the truth be told.
Okay, of course. I knew that was coming.
had to come into it. But really, if you want to learn more about sharks, get in the water with them. You know, we have in Florida, we're blessed. We have the lemon sharks have their little mojo going on in the spring. That's a good time to go diving with them. Randy Jordan out of Jupiter's always diving with sharks. Go to there's some awesome exotic places like Socorro Islands. I got to dive with 300 sharks all at the same time, the nice. Different species. I mean, there's lots of things to go and see with sharks. And once you dive with a shark, you realize they're not you're not on their grocery list.
Yeah, you're not on the plate, as Pooh would say. And I'll just leave that alone for now. But, but you know, the thing is, divers can appreciate it, you know, sharks so much better when they've done a shark dive like that. I mean, in Shark Week, that's the yin and yang of this. It brings a lot of attention to sharks. And in one sense, that can be flipped into a positive. But on the other side of the coin, they mix it up with so much dramatization and sensationalistic reporting of shark attacks. You know, it gets really conflicting for me because sometimes I wonder if they're doing more bad than good. And that is the... That is the dilemma. But, hey, it gets ratings and at least it draws people's attention to sharks, and hopefully they get, you know, they get injected with positive message for sharks, like Shark Savers and things like that, that, you know, they were teamed up
exactly.
with this year, right?
Exactly.
All right, cool. Hey, exactly. Pete has some comments about diving technology, and we're going to get into that next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba, 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 scuba diver.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm with Pete from Scuba Board. And I don't know, Pete told me before we started this hour, he said, look, there's some technology out there that we need to get out there or talk about because, I don't know, maybe there's been some scuttlebutt talked about on Scuba Board about the wireless transmitters that are being used by some dive computers have, I don't know, gotten a bad rap over the last few years, but now they're getting better. Is that what you were saying there, Pete, or what?
Yeah, it's the technology has gone light years of what it was 10 years ago when they first came out, the wireless transmitters for checking your air.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something, Greg.
Yeah.
Do you wear a belt or do you wear suspenders?
I wear a weight belt or integrated.
No. Right now, are you wearing a belt or are you wearing suspenders?
Neither.
Well, then. I'm not sure I want to know what you're wearing.
You don't
want to
ask the next question, do you?
Well, you know, most guys choose to wear either a belt or suspenders. And
right.
Anytime you see people with both, you go, what the hell?
Okay.
You know, are you that worried about it? And I'm seeing this today. Today's open water diver, you see them having, the brass and glass SPG clipped to their side, and yet they've got this wireless transmitter.
Right.
As well. I'm like, why?
Well, redundancy, I guess, would be the first logical question.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
But that's what the guy with the suspenders and the belt says.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I guess it depends on how much they feel comfortable being an exhibitionist, I guess, too, right?
And I guess it's a matter of comfort, isn't it? But
yeah.
Today, the way it's so, you know, I dive the Oceanic VTX.
Yeah.
And when I dive side mount, I have a sender on both of my tanks. On each tank has its own sender. And so I'm swapping from sender to sender, back and forth doing the dive, you know, probably half a dozen times throughout the dive, and I never had a problem, and I still don't have a problem with the basic uplink of everything gelling. And I'm like, why bother? Why, especially in an open water situation where if something happens, you know, something breaks, you abort the dive, you end the dive.
Well, true, and yeah, they have gotten pretty solid with the transmitter and the receiver systems on these computers. And, you know, I'm a little spoiled, as well as you. We get more equipment than we know what to do with from the manufacturer sometimes to go play with. But if it was just going from the standpoint of I want to go with the most effective, lightweight, and trimmest system out there, no doubt it would be wireless. And,
yeah, get rid of that hose.
Yeah, just bring extra battery, make sure those are juiced up before every dive. I mean, they have so much redundancy built into them now. Even if they fail, you usually get a warning, you know, before you even start a dive, if you've looked
especially at especially with the newer ones.
Yeah, yeah, to let you know there could be a battery problem or something's going to happen before you start your dive. But, yeah, they're pretty reliable. And, hey, and even if they were to go south on you, like you said, all you do is terminate your dive. You
know? Yeah, put a new battery in and go back diving again.
Right. But I will say, you know, having a backup, you know, I usually always dive with a backup air gauge just so I at least have that much, you know, right? Yeah, you don't think that's even necessary, huh?
Not for open water. Now, if I was doing a tech dive, it might change a little bit. But
yeah.
I'm doing cave diving with two of these guys, and I'm doing well. I mean, I just don't, I think it gets to the point where you got too much clutter.
Well, I would agree with that. But you can get a real simple air gauge. It's really tiny and small, and that's what I have. And I have that little tucked into my BC pocket, and it's kind of back, you know, back away, out of the way, and trimmed up pretty good. But everything else is wireless. So I just have that as, backup redundancy.
I like it on my wrist. I like being able to look and say, I'm about to die.
Well, okay. Yeah, I don't usually say that, but...
Well, I don't either, but yeah. You know what I'm saying. It's right. Like, it's easier for me to check. By the way, at the Scuba Show, did you see the Aqualungs Eon Steel PDC, personal dive computer?
Yeah, I did not. Explain. What caught your eye about that? Display? What?
It was a cool display. It's got the Gorilla Glass. It's you know, some displays are harder to read. I could read that thing from 20 foot away. Numbers are so big, and as I'm aging, big numbers mean a lot to me.
Absolutely.
But the thing that really just, it reminded me of a smartphone underwater.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have apps, but, you know, it's still a smartphone underwater.
Well, I would agree, and that's definitely the way they're going. And I guess you could look at redundancy in those systems with your cell phone, because those are definitely starting to come out there. In another couple of years, you'll be able to take your phone. You already can, actually, with some groups have already come up with little cases for your cell phone to take down, and you can turn it into a little dive computer as well. And that might be
Tetris.
Yeah, and you could use that as a backup. If you're on a trip or something, you use your cell phone as a backup. But this one from Aqualung, well, is it similar to the one that Atomic put out a couple years ago? Because they have one that's pretty cool as well. You know which one I'm talking about?
I don't think they have a wireless air transmitter with theirs. Isn't theirs
It is wired, yeah. But they have one of those real thin wired hose connector things or something, you know, that's the new thing as well.
Well, this is wireless thing. This is the new totally thing where wireless. You don't have a hose.
Yeah. So is it a wrist mount then? Like a
wrist mount computer. It's about, oh, I don't know, 3.5 inches wide, maybe 1.75 inches high. Like I said, brilliant display. You can actually customize the displays, unlike most dive computers, where you can say, okay, I want this screen to display this, and I pop over to this screen, it displays something completely different, whatever you want.
Very nice. Now, it doesn't do swiping like finger stuff, does it? I mean, I don't think they've done that underwater yet.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that because of the pressure of the water.
Yeah.
So, causes a problem.
But you just like it, and it does all the tri-mix and mixed gases and everything, and it's just cool, big numbers, and Aqualung on the right track is what you're saying.
You know, the second rule of diving, always look cool.
Well, I think that's the first rule of diving for me.
It should be.
It's always better to look good than to feel good, to dive good.
Speaking of cool, did you see that AAK mask?
I did, yes. Those guys, a manufacturer out of Mexico, had this new mask that looked more like ski goggles than a dive mask, a wraparound kind of, I don't know, weird techno-looking rave thing.
It reminded
me
of the Hydro Optics from years ago.
Oh, right.
I don't know if they're still making Hydro Optics.
That's right. The Hydro Optics was designed to be, to basically give you a full 360-degree unobstructed view.
Well, not 360, but more like, you know.
Well, totally unobstructed and not, I don't know, affected by the water. Because of the way the shape of the lens was supposed to take away the distortion that masks have to, or, you know, I don't know, what do you call that? They kind of
distortion is what you call that.
Yeah, okay, just visual distortion, and it supposedly corrects that and gives it like you were on the surface underwater, and you know, that magnification issue we have with dive masks underwater. Yeah, I know
with Hydro Optics.
Yeah,
you had to either be nearsighted or you have to wear special
contacts
in order to do, which made it a no-go for me. I would not put something in my eyes.
A lot of headache,
you know, diving
to deal with that. I don't know what happened.
And I asked this guy about that. He looked at me like, I don't know. I mean, the masks they had there weren't in the water yet, you know. You can see where they would leak. They're still prototyping it.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was an interesting concept. I didn't quite understand, other than, you know, an unobstructed view, because this was probably the widest and thickest space or glass area that I've ever seen on a dive mask. Would you agree with me on that?
No, so, I would have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, okay. And you, I mean, it was kind of like wearing, just wraparound goggles around your entire head.
You're going to have to put a weight on your head just to keep your head down.
Yeah, in the volume of airspace there, I wasn't sure. But I don't know, I tried it on. It's like, okay, it is kind of close to your eyes. And that they said they have figured this out, and supposedly it'll be a new thing. They got a new spin on the dive mask that they feel will take over the world. Now, I guess
he thinks by Dima.
Yeah, well, they're out of Mexico, so they're doing their manufacturing in Mexico. So who knows? It might be the next big thing. But I will tell you, if it catches on, divers are going to be looking really goofy because we look bad enough as it is, don't we? Come on.
Yeah, it makes you look like a bug.
Right, exactly. If you're looking for that bug-eyed ski goggle type effect.
Look.
You know, maybe it's coming to a dive center near you. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Did you know fewer than 2% of divers ever achieve the PADI Master's Scuba Diver Rating? Earning your Master's Scuba Diver Rating places you in an elite group. People will know you've spent time underwater in a variety of environments with significant experience and training. Rescue Diver Certification with 5 specialties and a minimum of 50 log dives are all you need. And for a limited time, get a free e-card when you earn your PADI Master's Scuba Diver Rating. So join the elite. Contact your local PADI Dive Center resort or instructor to plan your journey towards Master's Scuba Diver today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
The sky is looking cloudy. You can hardly see the sun. I'll stand my ground, but you wusses better run.
Ain't afraid of a tornado.
My two-blade chainsaw on my left hand. A dagger in the right. Fins are falling from the sky, and that's a crazy sight.
Ain't afraid of a tornado.
Some of these huge bastards are bigger than most cars. But I'll take my bumps and bruises, because chicks dig the scars.
Ain't afraid of a tornado.
Maybe they'll swallow me whole. Oh, wouldn't that be some fun? But that was a piece of cake. Did you see Sharknado 1?
Ain't afraid of Sharknado.
What? Whoa! Oh, you want a piece of me? Come on, bring it! Bring it! Uh-oh! Oh! Oh, shit! Come on! Who's your daddy now? Hey, it could happen. You know, this Wednesday, Sharknado 3 premieres on Sci-Fi Channel, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And I was contracted to be a sweaty Florida tourist in that film. We'll see what shows up. I'm guessing.
That's so you, dude.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I'm going to be chainsawing myself out of the body of a shark or anything. But you might see my shoulder, my head, or maybe some sweat flinging from my brow. I don't know. It's anybody's guess. But tune in Wednesday night, and we'll cover it accordingly here on a big show.
You know, now, it's going to be horrible if they cut your spot out.
Well, it wouldn't be...
I just want to help you through this, Greg, if that happens. You know, it's Hollywood.
I'm not really sweating it, because if I get cut out of this one, look, there's always Sharknado 4 and 25. They're going to do this every year, same time. This is really the new Shark Week. You know what I'm saying, Pete? That's really what they're evolving Sharknado into, is a yearly event. Which is kind of it's scary. It really is a sad state of affairs of what we've devolved into here in the U.S. But what are you going to do? It keeps us entertained for a couple hours. Or
turning it on. Watching.
Distracted. Yeah. And honestly, Sharknado, I think, is in some ways, it's better than Shark Week. I don't know if
you know it's fiction.
Yeah, you know it's a big hose. It's a big joke. And sure, the sharks are raining down from the skies, but nobody with a brain would think that that is real. And it's just ridiculous, and it's just good, clean fun. And you could actually take a positive spin on that, I think, and like do some positive things for sharks after the film or around it, around all the promotion. But once again, we'll have to see what happens, see if it is big as it was for Sharknado 2. I think they had 3.9 million viewers last year for Sharknado 2. So we'll have to wait and see what happens for this event this coming Wednesday, 9 o'clock
now,
Eastern Time. Yeah. What?
Did you see them, how they did, showed a Sharknado movie in the middle of a lake?
I did. I saw that. They did that
and
with
everybody's
Jaws.
Everybody's floating.
Yeah, they did that for Jaws, and they did that for Sharknado.
Can you imagine some jerk coming up and grabbing your leg at the wrong time?
Oh, you know that was going down. But when they played Sharknado, they started throwing like stuffed sharks down on people. That's what you know, as they should, you know. But I don't know. Hey, yeah,
it's like Rocky Horror Picture Show all over again.
Exactly. So, and all that stuff is covered in the latest edition of Dive Training Magazine. The difference between 40 years ago with Jaws and Sharknado today, and how sharks are portrayed in the media and that kind of thing. But once again, I'm a fan of Sharknado. I think it's so ridiculous, but I'm conflicted on Shark Week, and maybe I'm alone in that regard. But I don't know.
I'm not that conflicted on it. I have to say that I've watched it through the eyes of Scuba Board. I really haven't clicked on Shark Week per se to watch it. I've seen the bits that have come from people laughing about it, pointing fingers at it on Scuba Board.
Yeah, well, you know, they got to get ratings, and that's really what it's all about when it comes down to it. And the problem is when they're trying to get ratings on Shark Week, sometimes that's at the expense of the image of the sharks. And
exactly.
And that's the problem. Whereas, Sharknado, they don't. Who cares about Sharknado? You know, I don't know if people really. You know, the sharks take a hit because they're falling from the skies in a tornado.
It's a phenomena right now. I mean, look at the shows they have, like Finding Bigfoot or Ghost Hunters and all these pseudo-reality shows that they create this drama. And, you know, it's like watching a bad run of Ghostbusters. Like, Ghostbusters gone really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
okay.
It's like, okay, yeah, I'm not buying into this. It's not fun. It's not campy enough like Sharknado is. It's
right.
Just like, you think that I'm really going to buy this stuff? It's not happening.
Hey, they are ratings monsters, literally. I mean, the sharks have proven to be a big ratings draw for Hollywood, for TV. And matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, it may be news to your friends at Scuba Board, too, but there is a movie that could be a bad thing for sharks in the long run, called Meg. And there was a series of books that was written a few about 10 years ago.
I read that book.
You read that
book? That was a good book.
So that was supposed to be like the new Jaws, and it got derailed. But evidently, that production of Meg is back on track. And so, like 2017, 2018, supposedly there's going to be a new Jaws type of movie. And I didn't read that book. Do you think that'll be a scary thing, potentially like a Jaws impact for sharks or what?
No, it won't be a shark because it's like thinking a dinosaur is going to come out of the water. I mean, it's like watching Godzilla. You know it's not going to happen.
All right. So it's like that Discovery Channel Shark Week show from a couple years ago, Megalodon.
Exactly.
And, but this
now,
time it'll
did
just
you go
be
to Shark Con?
Movie. I did not go to Shark Con. I heard about it. I talked to some friends that went to it. You know, it's a fun little event. They're trying to get off the ground and turn into an annual thing. So we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, it was a good idea, I think. Over there at the Tampa Bay Aquarium.
Just don't get conned by sharks.
Is that what it was?
No,
it was either get conned by the sharks or get sued by them. Or maybe a combination of the two. All right, well, look, that'll do it for this week of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.